Peace of God be with you all this morning as we read His Word before us today. We read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word before us today, dear fellow redeemed. In the last month, we've seen a lot in the news about conflict between Israel and Palestine. Maybe that's died down a bit in the last week, but it seems like this has been a perpetual problem since Israel was established as an autonomous nation in 1948. For many people today, that's the date in history that they look back to as the beginning of the conflict. But in reality, the conflict between Israel and Palestine stretches deeper into history. And in many ways, it dates back to the moment of the text before us today, God's covenant promise to Abram. You see, the main emphasis in this blessing to Abram was about land and lineage. First of all, God called Abram to travel to Canaan, to leave the land of Haran that he was dwelling in. And even before that, Abram had departed from further east of Haran in the land of Ur. This was the first promise that God gave in the Bible about a promised land. And that was a theme that was so predominant in all of the Old Testament. The people of Israel held firmly to this promised land covenant from God. The promised land covenant affected the way that both the Jewish people and their Palestinian neighbors viewed Jesus as well. At the time of Jesus, the name Palestinian wasn't really much used, but it was more the term Samaritan. There was conflict then between the Samaritans and the Jews. Many people, even at that time of Jesus, rejected him as the Savior because he did not come here to set up an earthly kingdom. He was not here to establish a land-based authority. For the people of that time, they wanted deliverance from the Romans. And when they found out that that's not what Jesus came to do, they didn't want to follow him. The promised land covenant has similarly affected Jewish and Palestinian people up to the present time. Wars have been fought over the promised land. Jerusalem today is the hub of the three main monotheistic religions of the world: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All three which trace their heritage back to Abraham. But along with the promised land covenant came the promise of being a great nation, the promise of the lineage. Both Jewish people and Palestinian people see their people within that lineage, within that heritage. You see, the Bible explains to us how that came about too. Abram tried to take matters into his own hands. He tried to produce the fulfillment of this promise of being a great nation on his own terms. And when he couldn't conceive a child by his wife Sarai, he took Sarai's handmaid, Hagar, and had a son, Ishmael, through Hagar. It is to this child, Ishmael, that many of the Arab-speaking Palestinian people today trace their lineage back to. And so they see that Abraham is their forefather, and they have a stake to the claim that they are part of this great nation that God promised in the Bible. And so each side, Jewish and Palestinian, continues to claim to this very day, based on what the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 12 and many other factors, that Abraham is their father And they are the true people. And it creates and generates and promotes the conflict that we see today. One must ask, did God intend for this division to ensue when he gave this promise? It's an interesting thought to consider. And many sides speculate on an answer to that question. And I'm sure many sides and both sides of the issue have their own answer to that question. But instead of taking one side's opinion over it, we can go back into the Word and see what God intended with this promise, to see how people today have strayed from what this promise was really all about. Oftentimes, this option of going back into the Word is overlooked by people because it doesn't always tell them what they want to hear. It doesn't always confirm what their side has perpetuated for many, many years. But when we go back into the Scriptures and we look at this promise that God gave to Abram, we see that it was about a lot more than just land or lineage. Really, it was about the promise of Jesus as the Savior. And the key to understanding this properly as we look into God's truth is the same that it is for any other topic of our faith. We find it by carefully studying what the Word says. And as you can tell, much has been made about these words to Abram throughout the histories by many different peoples, many different cultures, in fact, many different religions. Some might think that it's presumptuous for us today, here, sitting in this church, to claim that we can know what God says by this promise, what God meant. But when we have God's promise that the Holy Spirit will work through the Word, and when we submit to that Word in humility, he will give us the true meaning of it for our lives. It is not a presumptuous thought to say that we can know what God intended. The key for us today, living in the New Testament, looking back to this text in the Old Testament, is to see how God uses it throughout his Word. We do this with all of the important topics of our faith. Take these questions, for example. Was Jesus the Messiah? Did God really create the world in 6 ordinary days? Did God send a global flood to the world because of a righteous judgment? Did the people of Israel in the Old Testament work for their salvation by following the moral law? Each of these questions that are very important to our faith today are answered by looking into Scripture and seeing what God records in both Old Testament and New. And so for our purposes this morning, we do that with this promise given to Abram. So part of the promise was that Abram would move from Haran and settle in Canaan. And the other part was that Abram had a great family. Obviously, we know from the Bible that these promises were fulfilled in Abram's life. He did eventually go to Canaan. And he did eventually have a great family. Even though he tried to take matters into his own hands with Hagar and Ishmael, the Lord allowed Sarai to have a child, to have Isaac, in Abram's and Sarai's old age. And so God continued this family line. And the Jewish people all throughout history have looked back to Abram as their father. And so we can say that in terms of physical fulfillment, these promises were confirmed for Abram. But think about it this way, as God traces this through for us in the Scriptures. Just as when the sun rises in the morning, we start to see the light before we feel the heat, so also this promise that was confirmed to Abram in his lifetime was just the start of what God intended to fulfill through it. The physical promises to Abram that he would have a great family, that he would go to Canaan, were merely the light that preceded the heat from the sun, the same source. God has also confirmed amazing spiritual promises to us through this very same covenant. You see, the question here wasn't just a big deal for the Israelites at the time of Moses, Aaron, or Joshua, the time of the Exodus. It wasn't just a big issue at the time of the judges or the kings either. There wasn't just division among the people about Abram's legacy when Jesus walked the earth either. It continued to be a struggle even for the early Christians in the New Testament. Most of the New Testament letters, what we call the epistles, talk about this very theme, Jew and Gentile relationships. What does it mean for the promises that God has given us through Christ? In fact, in Acts chapter 15, an entire church council was devoted to address this question. So through these New Testament letters, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can see what God is guiding us to understand and learn about these promises today. The promised land inheritance had a greater meaning than the fact that Abram would move to Canaan. It was ultimately about the spiritual inheritance that we have in the kingdom of God by faith. That is the location that God would have us be invested in getting to today. The promise of a lineage was more than just about being a blood descendant of Abraham, but it was about being connected to the family of God through the blood of Jesus by faith. And these elements of the promise, as traced in Scripture, prove to be the greater than the physical ones given to Abraham alone. Consider Paul's words to Galatians, a New Testament congregation that was wrestling with this very question. He says to them, "He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Paul told the Galatians, if you rest your salvation on being a blood descendant of Abraham, that's a work of the flesh. Paul said, if you rest your salvation on being or having a stake to the claim of being in Jerusalem and being part of God's nation here on earth, that's a work of the flesh. You're not saved by that. And he tells the Galatians, if your faith was begun in the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, why are you now trying to work through that faith and mature in that faith by what you do? And he used Abraham as an example of that. He said, even Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the model of true faith, was saved by believing in God. He was not saved because of who he was, because of what he did, because of the land that he traveled to. And he uses that covenantal promise from our text and says, God saw it ahead of time that Jesus would rescue even the Gentiles, would save them. And that was part of the promise here given to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. In you all nations shall be blessed. Not because they come from Abraham's line, but because they're connected to the same Savior. Some might question, though, was this some new doctrine that the Apostle Paul was springing up in the New Testament church? I mean, after all, he was a Jewish person who was highly influenced by Gentile associations. Could he have been trying to teach something that the Old Testament itself never intended? Well, consider what Jesus had to say in John chapter 8, about these Old Testament scriptures, about who Abraham really was. When speaking to the Pharisees who wanted to stake their spiritual lives and their hope for salvation with God on their lineage to Abraham, Jesus said this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to throw at him. Jesus is telling the Pharisees before him in that text, you are misunderstanding what the Old Testament scriptures taught. You cannot say that you are saved because you are Abraham's children, because you are his descendants. You cannot stand before God and plead righteousness because you live in Jerusalem. because you have access to that holy city. He said, I am the one that Abraham trusted in. Abraham saw what I came to do by faith, and he rejoiced in it, and he was glad because he needed a Savior too, just as you need a Savior. Consider another account from Jesus' life. In Matthew chapter 8, this is the section where Jesus says he encountered the greatest faith that he ever saw. And this is what he said to the Pharisees who were looking on. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Whose faith was Jesus talking about that was the greatest he had ever seen? The Roman centurion, the Gentile. And the Pharisees were indignant that Jesus would make such a claim, because this Gentile had no access to God's family. He was not a descendant of Abraham. He did not have access to these blessings. And Jesus said to them, many will come from many different nations and associate and talk and recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. Not because they're a Jew or a Gentile, but because they believe in Jesus as the Savior. But the sons of the kingdom, the ones who want to say that they're saved by their works or their lineage or their access to the land, will be cast into darkness. Even John the Baptist, at the very beginning of the Gospels, before Jesus even entered the scene in his ministry, taught the same thing. In Luke chapter 3, John said to the Jewish people, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. John was pleading with the people. It's not about your physical life. It's not about your lineage. It's not about the land that you have a claim to. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Don't stand before God one day and say, well, I was a child of Abraham. It's not going to work before God. Because the family of Abraham was not about his blood descendants, but about those who share the faith of Abraham. Those who trust in the very same Savior. So the call from God to humanity today is exactly the same. The Apostle Paul was exactly right about the Old Testament. Jesus taught the same thing. John the Baptist taught the same thing. Life with God is not about being able to hold on to Jerusalem, the city. It's not about being able to claim religious practices and customs that Abraham did. It's not about being able to trace your genealogy back to Abraham. God's call today is that you would believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior, and that faith would grow and be sustained by repentance and forgiveness of sins through His blood. The blessing here is not being able to say that one culture is superior to another, or that one is truly the descendant of Abraham and the other is not. It's about having a clean conscience to stand before God on Judgment Day and to be able to plead the merits and the works of Jesus on your behalf. So what we see as we look at this covenant promise from God in Genesis, and we see how it continues to affect our culture and our society today, is that whenever God directs a promise and a blessing to us, there's a temptation for us to make that all about our lives. We like to do that at times in our life, because then we can exclude the people that we don't like. Then we can show that we're higher or greater than the people that are below us, the people who are not as worthy. We see that play out today politically in our world. Both Jews and Palestinians want to claim the heritage of Abraham as their own, at the exclusion of others. But through that quest, through that fight, they miss out on the even greater promise that God made through those words, the promise of life through Christ. But the thing is, this isn't just a problem in the Middle East or for people that have an ethnic connection to Abraham. This is a problem in our hearts as well. we can end up doing the exact same thing with the spiritual blessings that Christ has given us by faith through his word, holding them over others, using them at the exclusion of others, acting or talking as if we are worthy of them and others are not. Just like the Galatians or the Pharisees, there are times that we can allow our heritage in the Word of God to become a mechanism by which we elevate ourselves over someone else. Sometimes we in our lives need that firm and loving rebuke that was offered in the Scriptures. Perhaps when John the Baptist said, "Do not begin to say to yourselves that you have Abraham as your father." Or when Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" We need that reminder. We need that rebuke. We need to be brought back to repentance and faith through Christ our Savior as well. This first promise in Genesis chapter 12 given to Abram is a reminder that all aspects of true faith point to Jesus and are sustained by Jesus. We live at a time when that message of the gospel is diminished because of political things going on in our world today. But we ask that God would bring us back to his word to keep it firm in our hearts. And that we would ask God, when he gives us opportunities to share that gospel message of Jesus with others, we would stand up to the task and be ready to help others see this greater truth through the covenant as well. May God help us to rise to the challenge, both that he would sustain our faith through his word, but also help us share it with others, to our Savior's credit and glory. Amen. Please rise.